trust in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul. Today we're going to build on last week, where we talked about a very famous parable, a story that Jesus taught, the parable of the talents, it's often called. A very encouraging story. Talks about this master, who is our Heavenly Father, who has given everyone talents. And it's kind of interesting, because in our English word, like, oh, we've been given talents, that makes sense. It's not exactly what it's talking about, though it might include that. This is everything we have. God has given us. And what's pretty interesting and shocking about the story that comes out at the end is that Jesus essentially looks at our life as a stewardship piece. And he's calling all of us to be great investors. He tells a story how he gave 5 talents to one, 2 to another, 1 to another. And the heroes of the story are those who simply do a good job recognizing what they've been given and they invest it for a return. And it's interesting, the accidental villain of the story, the bad guy, is the one who simply does nothing with what God has given them. And in fact, there's some very harsh words for that person. And what's beautiful about it? Just to quickly review the highlights of last week. What's so beautiful, because we're going to build on it, is that we can know God's heart for us is that he wants to see kingdom increase in your life. The whole parable is about the kingdom. The kingdom is God's will done on earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus very simply stated it. And so this incredible news is that that's God's will for your life. He wants you to experience not status quo, where you start with 5 talents and you end with 5 talents, or you start with 2 and you end with 2. He wants multiplication in your life. In Matthew 25, 23, my kind of favorite climax, if you will, of the story, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And yes, this may be an end of the life. You know, this is the big victory entering into heaven. This is a spiritual principle Jesus is talking about. That in the kingdom, there is an abundance mindset. Whereas God has given us talents to steward, as we steward them, as we are faithful, God's heart, God's desire is to see that multiplied, to increase in our lives for his glory. He wants us to be fruitful. And so then it comes back to us. Are we investing wisely? It's kind of the whole crux of that parable. Are you learning how to take a stock of what has been given to you by God, and are you learning to invest that wisely towards kingdom increase? And so that's a great message that Jesus gave. It's a great question for us to pose. And I want to follow up this morning with a second parable that's similar, but it gets even more nitty-gritty. If last week's simple message from Jesus is invest wisely, this week we're going to look at how to invest wisely. As Jesus tells another story and gets a little bit more nitty-gritty, a little bit more specific. And it's in Luke 16. So go there with me. Verses 1 to 13. He also said to his disciples that there was a rich man. So just so we're following along, as he tells these stories, they're about the kingdom of God, how God's economy works, if you will. The rich man is God, okay? The manager is us, just so we know right away. There was a rich man, God, who had a manager, us. This is what he told to his disciples. This is for our learning here. Charges were brought to the rich man, the big boss, the owner, that this man, the manager, was wasting his possessions wasting the big boss's possessions, squandering what had been given him. So just think back to last week. It's a similar idea of already stewardship. God gave to us talents to steward. And remember, the villain of last week was basically the person who did nothing. He wasted, he squandered the opportunity to see the kingdom increase in his life and just did nothing. So very similarly, charges were brought to this manager who was wasting the rich man's possessions. So the big boss called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager." Kind of similar to last week. All right, you wasted it all, you get it taken away from you. The manager said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. Ah, I have decided what to do, so that when I'm removed from my management, people will receive me into their houses." So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" Just kind of see this, picture this story here. It's kind of crazy what he's doing. He said, "Oh, 100 measures of oil." The manager said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and just write 50. Then he said to another, so manager said to another debtor, "How much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. The manager said to him, "Well, take your bill and write 80. Abrupt end of story. And Jesus comments on this. The master, God, commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. That should shock you. That sounds weird. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. So God's saying, good job. "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's or someone else's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So there's a lot there. That is a weird story, right? I mean, that's a strange story coming off the lips of Jesus. Most strange about it, that the master, being God, commended the dishonest manager. I mean, did you see what was going on, right? The master finds out that this manager is just squandering his stuff. So he says, "All right, hey, time to give me an account. You're done. You're losing your job." So the master scurries around and says, the manager, "What am I going to do? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make some good friends right now by cheating the master. Oh, you have a debt of 100? Make it 50. Oh, you got a debt of 100? Make it 80. He's making friends for himself. And Jesus says, "Good job." What is going on? So I want to take a little time to unpack this, because I'll be honest, like, this is a hard passage to understand. And I've got some help to understanding it. I'll give some credit to a person that's in my life as a mentor. Mike Breen has written a great little book called Oikonomics that talks about this parable and helps us understand what Jesus is doing. So I want to share some of that with you guys, because there is so much power. When you start to see what Jesus is applauding in this, you're like, wow. He's taking the message of invest wisely to a whole nother level. This parable is really about how, as we walk through life, if we're going to invest wisely, we need to learn how to value the different capitals that are around us, and invest wisely so that at the end of the day, the most valuable capital of all, which is the relationship with God, is what we've invested towards. Now, that seems like a jump at this point. So let me back up a little bit and help us see in the text how that is what's going on. If you're not familiar with the business language of investing in capitals, simply, very simply, capital is an asset. Could be money, could be gold, could be stocks, an asset that you have available. You can use it, you can spend it, you can invest it. So in this parable, Jesus points out at least five capitals. The first one is our spiritual capital. That's actually the climax of the story. We're going to get there. But he talks about you cannot serve both God and money. So there's two capitals right there. One is our spiritual capital, our relationship with God. And he kind of juxtaposes that other end of the spectrum, if you will, with financial capital. He goes on to say in verse 11, if then you have not been faithful with unrighteous wealth, there's financial capital, who will entrust you with true riches? So he's pointing, alluding to spiritual capital. So right off the bat, we see a couple of these different things that we can invest and invest towards. A few others right in there. The shrewd manager recognizes his lack of physical capital. He's getting old. His strength, his time, his energy. He doesn't have enough. What does he say in there? I'm not strong enough to dig. So he's showing there the physical capital that maybe in his youth he could have invested that, made some good money. At this point, he's recognizing, I can't make anything good happen with this investment of my physical capital. So he's looking to something else. What does he look to? He looks to his intellectual capital, his ideas, his knowledge, his skills to come up with a plan. And he does. He comes up with a very shrewd plan. It's a dishonest plan, but it's a pretty good idea. And what does he do that for? In 16:4, it says, he comes up with this plan in order that they will receive me. He's trying to make friends. He's cheating his master in order to make friends so that after his master, you know, kicks him out of a job, he's got some people. Oh, remember me? I cut you what you owe from 50 to, or 100 to 50. Oh yeah, that's my boy, that's my buddy. I can go hang out at his house now that I don't have a job. That's called relational capital. You've invested in relationships. So in this short little story, Jesus points out, and again, credit to Mike Breen for helping me to see and helping us to see, these are different capitals that Jesus is intentionally using. We've got physical capital, we got financial capital, we got spiritual capital, we got intellectual capital, and we got, what was the other one? Relational capital. Okay. All that to say, watch what Jesus does. In the end, this guy, this manager, cheats the master, recognizes he doesn't have physical capital, so he uses his intellectual capital to come up with this idea that will build his relational capital so that when it's all said and done, he's got something more valuable than being out of financial capital and out of physical capital. And at the end of the day, Jesus himself says, great job. I like what I'm seeing right there. What on earth is he getting at? If you read on, he says this. The master, verse 8, Luke 16:8. The master, so Jesus is saying, this is what God would say about that. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. And here's why. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. What he's commending is how the manager, though dishonest, and obviously Jesus isn't going to praise that, it's a story with a point. And the point is, look at how this manager was able to, with such shrewdness, look at what he had to invest And he saw that there were different values of things, different assets, different capitals have different worth. And he was able to recognize with an urgency his situation, knowing that he's about to get fired. Okay, manager, big boss says, come on, manager, you got to show an account. So boom, shrewd manager goes into invest mode. Well, what do I got? I want to make the best that I possibly can. I want to make out of this situation the best I can. I know my financial capital is getting ripped away. I don't have physical capital. What I've got left is intellectual. I'm going to use that so that I can have the best thing possible at the end, which is good relational capital. And Jesus says, great job. I like how you're thinking. Now, is Jesus commending dishonesty? No. He's commending. And this is going back to kingdom principle. He's commending, saying, man, this manager lived with an urgency and a shrewdness to take everything that he had, to recognize the situation, recognize the different values, and invest wisely to make out the best he possibly could. To invest everything he had toward the best outcome. And then he kind of rebukes the disciples and says, man, the sons of this world do a better job at this than the sons of light. And so what he's getting at is, do you and I walk through our lives with a sense of urgency? That this life matters. This life could end at any moment. What I do echoes into eternity for myself and everyone around me. Do I walk with a healthy awareness of eternity, an urgency? Do I walk with an urgency and a shrewdness that everything I do, everything I invest is intentionally toward a kingdom return? That's Jesus' point. He's saying, brothers, you're getting outplayed by the world. You want to look at passion? Look at them. You want to look at commitment? Look at them. You want to look at urgency? Look at them. You want to look at wise investing? Look at them. Now, they're investing ultimately towards the wrong thing, but take a lesson out of the playbook of learning to value something and give everything for it. It's that same principle that Jesus said in Matthew 13:44, that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a person found in a field. And what does that person do? They buried it back again, and Jesus said they went and sold everything they had so they would own this field. Wisdom, shrewdness, saying, or like the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:8, says, I count everything a loss. He even uses the word rubbish/dung, feces. It's in the Bible, Philippians 3:8. I count everything as rubbish, and I've lost everything. In other words, I've invested everything for Christ, is what he says. I count everything as loss that I might know Christ. Everything's rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. It's that spiritual capital that is clearly at the top of the food chain. And Jesus is saying, that's what I want to see. I want to see my people investing with an urgency and a wisdom towards what eternally matters. I want to show us a little video here. That is a good example of investing. It's a good example of recognizing our capitals, but I think probably not exactly in the same value order that Jesus has. So let's take a look at this. All right, just want to watch that in America, right? Like, I hate that I absolutely love that commercial. Like, I absolutely love it. It's awesome, makes me want to be an American. But what's the message? There's definitely capitals that are talking about being invested. What's valued? Is there anything in there at all about spiritual capital? Nothing, not a word. Is there anything in there about relational capital? It's a unrealistic, happy byproduct at the end. You know, he's got the perfect wife and kids in the white picket fence. All you have to do is be, you know, absolutely addicted to your phone and everything else in life will come to pass. That's good. And there's quite a bit of, you know, revisionist history as well, as this is talking about this intellectual capital that our phone can bring us, the financial capital of investing in it, and look what it did. Look what it did for America. It produced the greatest country on the earth. Goes back to the Revolutionary War, goes back to democracy, and all of a sudden it's like, woo, and I love this commercial. But it's like, that is just slick, shrewd marketing. It was not the busy, addicted to a phone that got democracy. That was, I would say, the spiritual capital of our founding fathers, who recognized a certain inalienable right in every human because of their understanding of God creating us in his image, and therefore every person has dignity and value. And as we've looked at before, that led directly, influentially to the writing of the Declaration of Independence. But, so that's a lie, by the way. It's interesting. That's the message that's coming our way every day. Invest your capitals towards a goal, towards an end. So I want to take us real quick here through, if you got your lift notes, what I believe Jesus would say is a grid. I think Jesus would agree here that there are certain values on these capitals and not all are created equal. I want to start at the bottom here and move up. So it's on the back page of your lift notes. This really becomes a grid for how are we making decisions? We've all been given talents. We've all been given capital. We've all been given assets. And are we investing upward? Are we investing wisely, even shrewdly, towards the most important capitals, which should be obvious, but it's a spiritual capital. So going down to the bottom, financial capital. This is the wealth and the possessions that we have. What has God given us? And that's, first of all, a radical perspective that's throughout the Bible. It's that everything we have, we've been given from the Lord. So the wealth, the possessions, do we see ourselves first and foremost as stewards of God's talents? That's ultimately the message of the parable of the talents. It's God's. He gives it to us, wants us to steward well, and he wants a return on his investment. And we get the blessings of being a part of that. But it starts at the financial capital level with the finances and the assets that we have received. Am I investing them upward to serve God, or are they an end in themselves? And that's a challenging question. That commercial, I would say, is part of a culture that highly touts the financial capital. The economic world, the bottom line. It's about the bottom line, right? You get into a business situation, as much as they might be wise in customer service and being kind for, you know, certain amount of time, there will come a time when it comes down to, for most businesses, unless they are Christ-centered and rooted in God's word and truly as a ministry unto the Lord, it's going to come down to the bottom line, in the black. Financial capital can be an idol. It can be the highest goal. This is what it's all about. This is a part of the world we live in that says it's all about stuff and stuff and more stuff. And this commercial is one of those that just busy. I mean, it's subtly saying, yeah, that you're working on vacation. You're multitasking all the time. You're never sleeping. You're always on it. You're always working. That is a subtle or not so subtle message that invest your physical capital of time towards this end of financial capital. That's really what we're all looking for. That's the good life. And Jesus flips it upside down. He says you can't love God and money. You can't serve them both. And it's interesting, as much as Jesus gives warnings about money, he also talks about financial capital in ways that God will provide. God wants to provide for you. God wants to take care of you. And so there is that living under the grace as God's kid. He wants to give me financial capital, and he wants to take care of me, and he wants me to use it well. But it's used for the sake of serving the ultimate purpose of growing my spiritual capital. That's where Jesus is saying, you've got to make a choice. You can really only have one master. What are you moving towards? What are you investing towards? That's where he gets to that climax of the story. And while he's commending the shrewd manager and therefore telling us to have an urgency and a shrewdness with how we invest, he's saying, make no qualms about it. The punchline of the story is, you cannot serve God and money. So he's challenging us to use our capitals, but to have a very clear purpose that everything I have, God, everything you've given me, everything I'm investing towards serving you, loving you, knowing you. And if you want some real specifics, nitties and gritties, I think that's where we're going to go next week. I think just getting this grid in our head is key. And then next week, just really trying to hash out some specifics. Okay, what is that going to look like in the daily basis of life? Moving on to the next one, intellectual capital. These are the ideas we have, the skills we have, the knowledge we have, the education we have. In the academic world, this is oftentimes made an idol. Education is great. Knowledge is great. Information is great. Jesus showed that he was a studied man. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the culture of the day. He knew the questions that people were asking. He knew the arguments that people would have against him. He knew the truth of the Word of God. And so he demonstrates for us that using the intellect that God has given us is massively important. However, it was all in submission and surrender in order to serve growing spiritual capital. So that's that big question for us. Not to idolize information, not to idolize skills, not to idolize knowledge, not to become puffed up with those things, but rather to take all of that and say, how can I humbly steward those things? Invest them towards seeing the kingdom grow in me and through me. Moving on up, the physical capital. In the story of Jesus, I'm too weak to dig. So you're talking about your physical strength. But I think there's more to it than that. Our physical capital has to do with the time that we have. All of us have the exact same amount of time. And all of us make choices every single day on how to invest that time, that physical capital. Are we investing towards spiritual breakthrough? I think for our culture, this is probably one of the most difficult areas to steward well. We have so many opportunities, so many distractions, so many different temptations on how to invest time. And that, I think in a lot of ways, that's what this commercial is all about. It's kind of making a mockery of how we can spend our time as Americans, but in the end, just with some rewriting of history, says, but look, it's all worth it. So buy a phone and be on it all the time, because you too could do exactly what the founding fathers did. Isn't that great? I mean, you think about that, really? That was what I just came away with. So yes to multitasking, yes with busy, 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 yes with working on my vacation. And if I do all those things, I'll be rich, I'll have a huge house, happy wife, happy kids, and I'll probably do something as cool as going to the moon or inventing the United States of America. Wow, all I gotta do is spend a lot of time on my phone. But that message is out there. Are we shrewd with our time? I like being shrewd by getting offended and laughing. Not at people, but at what I see are the invitations coming my way from the culture, like this. To be like, ha ha, I'm not that stupid. I see through you. And if I invest as you're calling me to invest, I'm gonna end up with an empty cistern that holds nothing. It's an empty promise. And this is what Jesus is calling us to. Get shrewd, get cunning, get smart to where, as you see our culture inviting us to invest in ways that are not toward the end of spiritual gain and spiritual capital in the kingdom breaking through and breaking forth, then we are to grow in the wisdom, the shrewdness to say, I see you. Uh-uh. I'm not going there. I see through that veneer. I see through that smile. I see through that good-looking magazine cover. Uh-uh. It's not true. In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. You are the pearl of great price. You are the treasure in the field. You are what is worth losing everything for or investing everything towards, the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. So I want to challenge us, encourage us, be free to be shrewd. This one's massive. So look at the commercials, look at the movies, look at the magazines, look at the invitations that are coming away specifically on how to invest your physical capital. Because like Jesus said, you can only serve one master. And so that's where we can become the villain unintentionally. The villain in the first story was the one who just did nothing towards the kingdom, and he was the villain. And see, that's where our culture gets so subtly sneaky. Oh, it's not bad to spend time here. This is not a sin to spend time here. This is not a bad thing. Just spend time here. And we can easily, unexpectedly move through our life being the villain, if you will. Not investing towards the kingdom, because we've invested over here and not over here. This is challenging. This is a hard world to live in. Moving up, relational capital, our relationships with others. This gets into this and spiritual capital. These are what it's all about. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important thing in life? The greatest commandment, if you will. That was how he was asked in his culture. But essentially, if we were to ask it today, that's kind of how it would be. We don't live under the heaviness of the law where that's, we're talking and thinking commandments. We're thinking, what's important in life? What makes life count? What matters in the end of the day? And Jesus responded and said, first commandment is this, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Talk about investing. Didn't just say, love God, have nice feelings for God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's investment language. You're giving everything you've got to love God, to serve God, to invest wisely, to see the kingdom increase. And ultimately, let's make sure we're hearing this. This is not to earn salvation in any fashion. This is because it's a relationship. And like any relationship, the more where you invest is where you see a return. If you don't invest, you will not see much of a return. It's a relationship with God. This is about stewarding our lives in the power of his grace, in the freedom of our identity, that we are loved, accepted, forgiven as beloved sons. We're perfect because he was perfect on the cross for us. And so now, how do we live in that economy? How do we live in God's kingdom? This is not about earning love, acceptance, salvation. This is about stewarding well the incredible gift of relationship that Jesus went to the cross for. So what does Jesus say? Invest everything you have towards loving God. And, oh, there's a second, and it's similar. It's similar. This is interesting. They're connected. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's called relational capital. We're made for relationship. But we're not just made for any old relationship. We're made for relationship that's a reflection, that are reflections of our love for God. That's how I love how Jesus connects the two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's a second, the guy asked, what's the one? What's the number one commandment? And Jesus is not ever, you know, bound by people's questions. He does what he wants and answers how he wants. He says, here's this. And there's a second connected. They're inextricably connected. They're linked. You got to know them. Relationships with others. A healthy relationship with yourself. Man, is that a important message on it for another day and another time. But out of healthy love for yourself through your identity in Christ, then you're able to have healthy relationships with others. And Jesus said, that's right there with the greatest, most important thing in life. Loving God, loving yourself, loving others. It's called relational capital, where our relationships are bonded together about God. So are we investing in relationships towards more of God? Is that their foundation? Is that what holds them together? Is that their purpose? I mean, marriage is one of the most beautiful things on the planet, but it's, man, when God is at the center, it's the most beautiful thing I've experienced humanly in the intimacy and the closeness and the goodness of God shining through. But I also sit back and be like, how do you do it if you don't have God? Like, how do you, if God's not the center, the foundation, the power source, and the end goal of more of God, man, it's not going to work. And that's Jesus, what he's saying. Our relationships, relational capital, is right there with spiritual capital. They're meant to be deeply interconnected. So the challenge for us is how, when we're investing relationally, how are we intentionally, not annoyingly, but intentionally bringing more and more of God into the relationship with our spouse, with our kids, with our friends, with our coworkers? Because if we're not, once again, we're just investing towards no eternal return. And then lastly, spiritual capital. We've already talked a lot about it. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure hidden in a field where when you taste and see that the Lord is good, you say, I just have to do whatever I can to be able to buy this field. I got to go sell everything. This is that same investment language that Jesus is using. You are an investor. You are making investments, and you are seeing a return where you are investing. Jesus is saying, my people, have an urgency and a shrewdness that you see out there in the deceitful business world. Take a page out of their book to have that same kind of shrewdness to say, I'm going to evaluate wisely exactly everything that's coming my way, and I am going to invest it all towards kingdom return. The question today, as you take this home, this is meant to be a grid. My wife and I use this. We talk about this. I know some of the guys in my discipleship groups, we've talked about this. This is an excellent grid for how to make decisions for life. How am I investing? We all invest every day. So this can be a great grid of, well, what am I choosing to invest in? Is it towards the most valuable? Is it the most valuable? Are we learning to invest upwards? Are we growing on our skills on investing these lower capitals towards a return on the spiritual and relational. This is really the journey of life, is to get better and better, to see that increase in God's capitals. So as we close, I want to challenge you, just start with one thing today. What do you think God's saying to you? What do you think God's saying to you today? If God were just to sit and have a conversation with you, what do you think it would be about your life? What's one thing he would want to say? And how are you going to respond to that? This ultimately, though challenging, is good news. That Jesus wants the return. He wants increase. He wants multiplication of his kingdom in our lives. And next week, we're going to get more into some specific nitty-gritties, what that will look like in each of these areas. But for today, let's just sit with that. Challenge you to begin using it this week. But start right now. Just God, what is it that you want to say this morning? How can I respond? I was singing a new song. I was singing